one of the easiest practices for embodiment is turning on a bad bitch playlist while you're getting ready in the morning and tuning into the frequency of who you want to be. How does the person that I want to be feel when she's getting ready in the morning? She knows she's hot. She knows she's successful. Like, she knows that when she walks into a room, she turns heads and she loves it. Like, she eats it up. Even if that seems like too far of a reach, think about somebody that you admire, whether it's a celebrity or an influencer, or just someone that you follow on social media. If you want to feel more like you think that they feel, then try to tune into that energy while you're getting ready in the morning.
Welcome to the Holistically Healthy Podcast, where I, Sedona Treganning, nutritional therapy practitioner and NASM certified trainer, bust health myths and teach you how to become the healthiest, most confident version of you. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have my friend on, Cassie, and she is a trauma-informed life coach who is also certified as a breathwork practitioner. And I wanted to bring her on because you guys know I've like talked about how my mental health has really impacted my digestive health and how that has really impacted my clients. And so Cassie is someone that really understands like how subconscious stress and just stress overall and trauma can really impact your physical health. And we're going to be talking about all of that today so that you can start understanding like, okay, am I stressed outside of like, oh, I don't really have panic attacks, you know, or like, are you actually stressed? And is that actually manifesting into physical symptoms? So with that being said, Cassie, who are you? And also, like, how did you transition from being more into fitness, health and fitness, and more into this line of work?
Hi, thanks for having me. Loaded question of who are you always, like, makes my heart just, like, skip a beat. There's so much I could say here. I started out in fitness, and when I was working with my fitness clients, I started tapping into, like, the personal development space in a very, like, masculine way. Was reading all of the, you know, just like very textbook books about personal development, getting into Tony Robbins, who is a king, but just like very one way, this is what you're supposed to be doing if you want to progress and you want to grow as a human. And that was really helpful for me as like an introduction into the space. And basically, I started trying to teach those like mindset principles to my clients, and it ended up, they weren't that interested in it, but I was so passionate about it. But because I was working with them in the fitness industry, they were like, yeah, we want a physical transformation. And that was what was important, which makes sense because like that was my energy. That was what I was projecting at first, was like, hey, let me get you this sick transformation. I did it for myself, like, let's go. And then I was like, oh, wait, what is it all for? What does it all mean? Why do you even want that? And when I was trying to bring this into my own coaching, my clients were like, okay, we don't care. Like, let's get us the results. So yeah, I was like, I need to switch up the way that I'm coaching because to be honest, like, I care about the fitness stuff, but I care about this so much more. And the passion really shines through for me when working with mindset. And after really taking a deep dive there, I hired my first spiritual mentor, which I wasn't tapped into at all, but felt so pulled towards. And that really opened up my world to so much more beyond just really the physical and the mental. And I started tapping into the emotional. And that's when I went down my trauma healing journey. And that's basically what has carried me to the point that I'm in today in my life, and also with the work that I do with my clients. It goes so much deeper than just like what we can see on the surface and what we even know about consciously.
Yeah, and something I wanted to talk about quickly too is just like your story of moving, because I thought that was really cool how you went from being, you were an in-person trainer and an online coach, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like I watched you transform and then you freaking moved to Mexico. So
yeah,
what called you to want to move all the way to Mexico from Florida?
It was just literally a nudge. Like there was just some call. I can't explain it. Every single person asks like, why Mexico? And I'm like, I don't really know. It just felt right. We, like my partner and I both want to live all over the place, like experience different cultures and get a taste. I mean, you and I grew up in a tiny little town with absolutely zero diversity. And anytime I travel, it's just, whoa, shit is so much different. It expands you tenfold. And so we're like, yeah, we want to live all over. Like, why don't we just start doing that now? And it just ended up being Mexico. In a meditation, actually, I had a breath work leading into meditation. I had a vision of myself just standing over a balcony, looking over just blue ass water. And I knew it was where I was living. And I didn't know that it was Mexico at the time, but then I got here and I was like, whoa, I was here before. Like, I remember this.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely has motivated me, because it's like one thing to be, you know, I'd like to go somewhere, I'd like to travel the world, but we put these boundaries on ourselves where we're like, oh, we can't. That we have these obligations, we can't travel the world. And sometimes that is the case. We have certain obligations, but like even when those things pass, we create other excuses to not actually follow that nudge. So I think that's super cool that you did that. And so I wanted to first really start diving into, okay, what is, I don't know if you would phrase this a different way, but I always think of it as there's conscious stress and then there's subconscious stress. And a lot of us are obviously aware, we're conscious of certain stressors, like, okay, I just had a panic attack, or my heart is starting to race. I guess that's more subconscious. Or like, I want to scream at this person, I'm angry. Like, that's something that a lot of us are aware of. And that's where we can be like, okay, I did just have a panic attack, so it makes sense why I have hives on my body. But for a lot of us, it's kind of like, okay, I don't have those sure signs that I'm stressed right now. There's nothing inherently stressful in my life, like a death in the family or anything like that. But I do feel like I have muscle tightness, or like I feel like I'm still having a lot of health symptoms, even though I'm eating really healthy. So how would someone start to become aware of subconscious stressors?
I feel like it just comes down to your awareness. And just paying attention to the way that you move and the things that happen in your day to day, it's hard to put like a mark on where you should start in general, because every single person's journey is so specific. Thinking about myself when I was at my worst, like my rock bottom, this was even before I was like, wow, I got to do something about this. I was really depressed. I was barely eating. I was living the same day over and over. So I didn't notice a lot of symptoms or think that it was honestly abnormal until I took myself out of that every single day routine and opened up to a possibility of something being different. Because to me, being in it when we are living with our symptoms, a lot of times we don't realize that they are symptoms of something. Like, there's a deeper rooted why to our symptoms. It ends up being just like normal for us, which isn't always supposed to be normal for humans, but it just becomes normalized because it's what we're living in. So I think like bringing your awareness to the things in your life that maybe don't feel so good, but maybe you have normalized, that's a really good place to start.
There's a lot I could say on that, actually. But the first thought that comes to mind is, so when you're saying it's like subconscious, like we're not conscious of it. But like when you're doing the same things all the time, you don't realize that it's a problem. Did you ever read the book? Oh, wait, we talked about it. Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
Yeah, I didn't finish reading it, though.
it's a long one. But basically, he talks about how the best way to change yourself is to do something different. Because that's going to get you out of that zombie mode of waking up, you know, hitting the snooze, like doing the same shit all the time. So it's interesting you say that. One way he talks about like how to actually start recognizing these things that are uncomfortable for us, or that bring up certain feelings in our body to show us that it's not a good thing, or like something's wrong here, is through meditation. And he's really big on meditation. I know that for me, meditation was really helpful, because even right now, you know, we're talking and like I can feel that there's certain points where my jaw starts to clench. But if I had never meditated and I had never been able to be present in my body and be still enough, I would never known that. So I know you had gone through some traumatic stuff in the past. When you first started becoming more aware of these things, how did you become more aware? Was that meditation for you?
Meditation was a really big piece of it. Journaling is like my go-to girl. I know that meditation helped me be able to understand that like I'm the observer of my thoughts and not the creator. I think at first, something that's really important is recognizing and being able to admit that some of the things that are going on, like, aren't making you happy. Going back to what we were saying before of, like, living the same day over and over and, like, experiencing the same things, they become so normal. It's also being able to admit to yourself, wow, I do wake up every day and I'm not happy. Or I do wake up every day and I can't eat anything because I'm so bloated, or I'm in so much pain, or I feel so anxious to go to the store. So it's admitting to yourself, yeah, I'm actually don't want to live this way, but it's just how things are. But knowing that you can change that. So yeah, journaling has been really helpful for me. Like, that's still my top tool that I always advise, and that's always like a constant in my life. Just allowing whatever the fuck is in your head to flow out onto paper. Like, pen to paper is a different voice than what is going on in your head. And I actually didn't realize until like last week that some people don't have a conscious, like some people don't have a voice in their head.
Yeah.
That's like actually really common.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you put pen to paper, you just allow some of that clutter to clear so you can actually see like what is going on. Because I feel like something that stops a lot of people from trying to meditate is that, oh, I can't just think of nothing. Like, there's too much going on. I can't just sit with nothing. It's like, well, that's actually not the point. Like, you're not supposed to get nothing. You're supposed to just be able to observe what actually is going on in your mind and in your body. It's not supposed to stop anything. It's just supposed to slow you down so you can see what's there. But that's a, like a really great point to bring up of meditation. Like, meditation is massive in helping you develop that awareness. Even if it's something as simple as, this is really uncomfortable for me, or I can't sit still, those are things that are good to know and you can eventually work to change.
What are your thoughts on diagnoses?
I don't love them.
Okay, yeah. So, right? Because I feel like, I wonder if you're going to say the same thing, but I feel like, for example, I was diagnosed with anxiety. And I feel like I was like, yeah, I just have anxiety. I can't do this because I have anxiety. I remember this just came vividly into my mind, but I remember I had moved into a 2-bedroom condo and my dad had bought it as like a real estate investment. But he was like, oh, this will make sense if we can get someone in here to live with you. And at the time, I had such bad social anxiety. I hate even saying that because I'm like, I was just anxious around people. But that, you know, when she moved in, I had the excuse of like, I just have anxiety. There's nothing I can do about it. It wasn't like, hey, let me figure out why I'm triggered right now. She's like, well, there's nothing I could do. Even with IBS diagnosis, a lot of people are like, I just have IBS. There's really nothing I can do about it. So yeah, what are your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, I think it's so, I know this triggers the fuck out of people when I talk about this, but even autism, ADHD, anxiety, depression, all of those diagnoses, I don't feel like they're helpful. I feel like they, from what I've seen and in my own experience, in my clients' experiences, having a diagnosis maybe helps them at first because it validated their experience. But then after that, they just clung to it and it gave them permission to just continue going down the same loophole that they were already going down. And could just fall back on, oh, it's just my anxiety, or yeah, I'm depressed. I'm just gonna not shower, not eat, not move from my bed for days. And it's just, okay, you're not helping yourself. You're just allowing it to continue to manifest. So yeah, it's kind of tricky. We all experience these things. We all fucking do. And I'm not saying that to minimize anybody's experience. It's just, hey, can we take a deeper look? What if you stopped, like, what if you changed your language around your diagnosis and you stopped claiming it as your own? You stopped claiming it as it's a part of you. I had a friend that was with me just the other day and she had said something like, I'm just like such an anxious person, so I can't XYZ. And I was like, please don't say that again. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because when you say something like that, like, I'm just an anxious person, it just cancels out whatever else you were going to say because you're justifying your inaction with just anxious. Like, this is just how I'm going to feel. And it also projects everything into the future. So you're saying, oh, I'm just an anxious person. I know I'm going to have a hard time. at the airport, or I'm just an anxious person, like I can't really make any new friends. Do you see that just completely hinders you versus if you change your language and say, okay, I might experience anxiety here, and that's not the end of the world. I might experience anxiety, and here are my tools to help me navigate the situation better. And you don't have to say it all zhuzhi like I just said it, but that's something that could help you, is changing language on it. Stop identifying with it and allowing yourself to be open-minded when you are talking about the future, so that you're not projecting your experience, because you're creating it right there.
I think that's another thing that I found really helpful with meditation is, well, I think my journey with like overcoming, you know, daily panic attacks, really, really struggling to like feeling really good now, is it's come in like waves. Maybe this has happened for you, but I feel like, okay, it was first like, okay, I don't have panic attacks every day. So now I have room to be like, okay, now I can stop dating narcissists. Now I have room to like, you know, it was kind of like just removing all of these things step by step. And now I think I'm at a point where a lot of that is gone. A lot of that baggage is gone. And now my mind is quiet enough where I can start hearing those little things that I do say to myself. For example, this person doesn't want to hear me talk right now. Why don't I just stop talking? Or, you know, I don't deserve this type of love. Or, wow, I'm actually like not a great person. And it's crazy because I never realized I used to talk to myself like that before. And so I guess, do you believe, I was iffy on the whole affirmation things, because how can you just say things to yourself and then it's just going to automatically happen? How does that work? And I'm no expert in that, but do you use any type of affirmations or changing the things that you say to yourself, like in your practice, to help clients?
Yeah, changing my language was one of the very first personal development tools that significantly changed everything for me. Like once I was aware of that, I read this book. It's called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself by Shad Helmsetter. Great book. And like once I read that, I was like, whoa, that is so crazy. Like I didn't even realize, just like you're developing awareness of what you're saying to yourself, all of that started coming to the surface. And I was like, wow, I am so mean to myself and so much nicer to everyone else. And I live with myself forever. Let's make some changes here. And it's a tool that I use with all my clients. It's something that I introduced really early on, is like, start paying attention to your language. And you don't have to get on yourself for your language. It's just awareness. Like that's all we want at first. And then we can start making subtle shifts. It doesn't have to change from, wow, I hate looking in the mirror, to I am the most beautiful, drop-dead gorgeous human. It can be, I am learning to love myself. And once you are able to develop that awareness and start noticing what your original thoughts are, you can just make a little shift from there. So it's not a drastic change. It's not uncomfortable. You don't feel like you're lying to yourself. But you can say, I'm learning too. I've simply decided. Something that is a step rather than like a flight from where you are. But yeah, affirmations are amazing. Writing them, speaking them, playing them back to yourself, saying them and looking into your own eyes. Like those are all different levels that like you can use them as different in different ways.
Did you ever think about, like, did you ever have this realization? Because I had this not too long ago where I was like, wait a second, I really do create my own reality. And so, like, you know, when people always talk about, oh, just fake it till you make it, just pretend you're that bitch or whatever, even if you're not. And then I was like, wait, that really is so true. And part of that is, I guess the fancy term would be like embodiment. So like when you do say those things to yourself, like how do you actually become that? So what type of embodiment practices do you use with your clients? And like for people listening who might not really understand what this is, can you explain that to them?
Yeah. So embodiment really just is all about being. It's just, who are you going to show up as? And one of the easiest practices for embodiment is turning on a bad bitch playlist while you're getting ready in the morning and like tuning into the frequency of who you want to be. And maybe even like that language is a little bit woo woo, but just feeling into, okay, how does the person that I want to be feel when she's getting ready in the morning? She knows she's hot. She knows she's successful. Like she knows that when she walks into a room, she turns heads and she loves it. Like, she eats it up. It's not breaking away from, oh, but the little voices that come up in your head. It's just, how can you tune into the person that you want to be? Or even if that seems like too far of a reach of, I can't see beyond who I am now, think about somebody that you admire, whether it's a celebrity or an influencer, or just like someone that you follow on social media. Tune into, if you want to feel more like you think that they feel, then just like think about that and try to tune into that energy while you're getting ready in the morning, or honestly just whenever it comes to mind. Like, there's never a specific point where you can't make a change. Like, you can make a change at any point in your life, at any point in the day. It's never too late. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I really like Joe Dispenza's book too, because he talks about how like you just form these neural connections, because, you know, you're forming your subconscious. He's like, 95% of who you are by the time you're 35 is just zombie mode, subconscious, right? You've always done it and you're forming these neural connections. And like you said, I think it's kind of practice. I know for me, I definitely, there are times where I go back into my old way of thinking, but it's realizing, wait a second, this is actually my body's addiction to that emotion or that way of being that has always been there. And so it's being conscious and bringing yourself back to, who do I want to be in this moment? And that's something I tell my clients a lot too, is even, it sounds so simple, but sometimes we don't think about it. If you want to lose fat, what would the person that's going to lose fat do? Would they eat out on the weekend and say, fuck it, you know, and like go overboard? Like, would they, you know, miss a check-in? Like, what would they do? And it's so interesting when you put it that way, because it's like, well, what does the most successful person do? Let me just mimic that way of being, not actually copy them, but how do I just own it, you know? I find that really interesting.
Yeah. And honestly, even if you need to copy them at first, but then like figure out how to make it yours, that's a tool too.
Yeah. Before we go into the way it shows up physically, I want to talk about, let's say someone had these negative thoughts, right? Like, I always like asking the question, why? Like, why do I have anxiety? Why do I, you know, have GI issues? So then you can attack the root cause. So why might someone have really negative ways of speaking to themselves? Like, where does that come from?
So just like you brought up the age of 35, we can also look at the age of 7. Everything before we turn, it's like around 6 or 7 years old, is we are fucking sponges. Do you swear on your podcast? Because I've been swearing a lot.
Oh, no, yeah, it's fine. I don't care.
Okay. From when we're born until we turn 7, we are literally sponges to our environment. That is where our subconscious is developed. And everything after that, we're just acting through that programming that we've absorbed from our environment. So everything that we see, everything that we learn from our parents, teachers, grandparents, friends, society, the world, we just like soak that up.
Why do we get these subconscious beliefs, or we talk shit to ourselves, like that type of thing? Why does that happen?
Yeah, so a lot of times it can just be because that's something that we picked up from whoever raised us. We could not even realize, and that's something to think about if you are a parent. And if you have young children, you think they might be too young to notice, but they are soaking up everything that you are doing and saying, and the way that you're even being. It's just, you might notice, oh, my mom never says nice things about herself, or the way that my parents love each other is just like, maybe they don't have any physical touch. And that's what you learn. Like, that is your main example of what love looks like. And that's mainly where it's going to come from, is because it's literally taught to us. We're not born out the womb with those thoughts and feeling that way about ourselves. Actually, when we're brought into the world, our blueprint is pure love. And if you notice the way that children act versus adults, a lot of times kids have it right. Like, they're doing the right things. Especially when it comes to, this is a completely different rabbit hole, but emotional regulation, like, kids know how to regulate and kids know how to express. And we're like, no, no, don't do that here. But really, they know how to shake it off. They know how to move it through. And we just teach them, and that it should be a certain way because, you know, society says.
That's an interesting point how you said, like, move things through. So a lot of what I talk to my clients about is about how if they're not feeling things, that's going to drain their energy so much. My clients that deal with the most, you know, insulin resistant, like blood sugar issues, like PCOS, and they deal with like insomnia, sleep issues, and, you know, feeling really depressed, I often find that they're the ones who are very stark, stone cold. Like, you can tell they don't really like to feel their emotions, and they even admit that. You know, it's hard to make them feel comfortable enough to like really talk to me about certain things. So what does it mean to suppress emotions?
Yeah. So suppressing your emotions is just like preventing yourself from feeling. It's acting like it's nothing. It's pretending that we don't feel. And that sounds kind of silly to say out loud, but honestly, going back to the example of a child, it's something that we're conditioned out of. Like, we're taught to not do, and that there are certain emotions that are acceptable to showcase in public. And there are certain emotions that you can go and time out and you can cry by yourself. You can go to your room. You can go out of here. Like, you're embarrassing me. We're not crying at the store. It's okay to be joyful and happy and love on people in public. But yeah, the lower vibrations are not welcomed, which is why a lot of times with those lower vibrational emotions, anger or guilt or shame or sadness even, we can continue, but you get the point. We don't like to express those because we've been taught that they're bad or they're wrong or that they're lesser. They don't matter as much as being happy does. So we try to shut them out. And that's what we're doing when we suppress. But that ends up manifesting in the physical. And I don't really touch the physical symptoms with my clients. However, when I see people, they're posting on social media, or sometimes like if a client mentions, oh yeah, I have PCOS or I have insomnia or I'm struggling with joint pain. When I see things like that, even something like lupus or MS, I can almost guarantee it is also, yeah, it's something dysregulated in your system, but it's also emotional. You can almost guarantee it's going to be emotional. And I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I think I've shared this one time, but when I came off birth control, I wasn't getting my period. And then I had this huge breakthrough. Like, I just sobbed and sobbed, and I like gave forgiveness to someone that I like thought that I was going to hate for the rest of my life. And the next day I got my period. So it could be a coincidence, maybe, but like that's happened multiple times where, you know, I'll have these breakthroughs and then I have like the best night's sleep, or like, you know, and after struggling with insomnia. And so, yeah, this stuff is really important, like you said, and especially the sleep issues. I see that all the time. And that could be not being able to fall asleep because your mind is racing because, you know, you're an overthinker to try and survive, or like you've been, you know, trying to shut out your emotions all day. So when you finally have stillness, you're like, they're just flooding through. Or it could even be like you're just feel freaking exhausted because it's just so much to carry these things with you. Like, I think of them as like chains, almost carrying the emotions. That almost reminds me of, what is that movie where the guy has chains on him? Scrooge? Wait, what is a Christmas movie? But he's like wearing, in one scene, he's like wearing chains on him and he's like dragging the chains. And I always think of that.
Is it A Christmas Carol?
Maybe, where he like goes through different parts. I don't know.
Yeah, the past, present, and future.
Yes, that one. Yes, that's what I think of. So I guess the first step in feeling your emotions is just feeling them, right? Or am I wrong there?
I mean, yeah, but it's then people are like, how do you feel the emotions? And like, you can literally turn it into a practice. Yes, it's in the moment of allowing them to actually come through. And that doesn't mean completely taking it out on other people and like screaming at your coworker or your partner. No, no, no. We're talking about healthy habits. We want to do this in a healthy way. And oftentimes, even anger itself is always leading back to something like a deeper emotion. Anger is never the surface emotion. It's always leads back to some sort of different pain. But you could turn it into a practice of when you notice it coming on, or even if you just know, I don't feel angry right now, or I don't feel upset right now, but I know that I have suppressed emotions. think about a child again and literally go into your bedroom, go like find a quiet place in your car, somewhere where you feel safe enough to get loud and scream. Blast some music, get a pillow if you want to, scream into your pillow, have a temper tantrum, allow that energy to move out and through. And even if you don't feel angry or upset or sad before, it will loosen some of those blocks that are in your body already from suppressing them. They don't go away until you allow them to move through. So that could help them move.
Yeah, I really like dancing. Like, but sometimes it'll be angry dancing. I'll be like punching the air.
Yeah. Do you know Saadi Simone?
No.
He's basically all about dance, like dancing through your emotions. And he does dance for shame, dance for anger, dance for grief. And he does different somatic movements for that. He's really cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you'll have to send me that. Yeah, I think also like in my space, a lot of people think movement is just the gym. Otherwise, I'm going to sit on my desk, you know, and that's definitely been me. But challenging myself to get up, and when I feel, and that's part of meditation, I feel like too, is again, that stillness to listen to your intuition. And your intuition will usually guide you. Sometimes I'll be in a meditation, but I'm like, wait a second. Like, I feel like I need to flail my arms or something right now to get it out. Yeah, I think that that's a really great idea. And so I know you also just got certified with breath work and everything. And I know that that has been really helpful for me. And just in general, so many people are trying out breath work now. So how does that work? And how can people start with breath work?
The type of breath work that I got certified in, saying the word breath work could be the same as, like you were saying movement or saying exercise. It's such a broad term, and you can utilize just like breath awareness, just like paying attention to how you're breathing. You can use breath to down regulate your system, to relax you, to put you to sleep. You can utilize your breath to energize you, to upregulate. So there's a million one different ways. The way that I use breath work is a lot of times it's a breath journey. So depending on the intention going into it, it could be like a really soft experience, or it could be like a really deep release, which is something that I just experienced, which I was making sounds that I've never heard come from me before. Just deep sobs of pain releasing from my body, which is really cool. So getting started with breath work, I would say like the first thing to do is that breath awareness. And literally, awareness is like the first step to everything, is paying attention to like, how am I moving now? How am I breathing now? Is it really short and shallow into my chest? Am I breathing with my mouth open? Am I breathing through my nose? Do I hold my breath? Do I ever like take random deep breaths? It's just like there are so many different things that you could pay attention to, and they tell you something different.
Yeah. As I'm like not breathing deep, I'm like, remember.
By the way.
Yeah. If anyone listening is holding their breath, breathe. But okay, so let's say for an emotional release, like you said, which actually totally, I had that like 2 weeks ago where I was like, like a whale, I was bawling. So I know what you're talking about. But okay, so for that.
Love that for you.
Yeah, for you too. So for that type of like release, like let's say we have been suppressing anger. Let's say, you know, our family really freaking pissed us off when we were growing up, and we're always told to keep quiet and never like stand up to like the person that was, you know, being horrible to us or mistreating us or whatever. And we have this stored anger that we've never allowed to process. And we've told ourselves, you know, we're fine and you're not actually fine. How do you start to release that through the breath outside of like, okay, you have become aware of the breath? Like, what kind of patterns can they do? And just any information you think would be helpful.
So honestly, having a guide for something like that, like if you're noticing, I really want to release, having a guide is really, really helpful, because they can help you feel a lot safer when it comes to your breath. However, there are 3 different breath patterns that I utilize, and the first being just your functional breath. So in and out deeply through the nose, deep into the belly. And for each one of these, like the 3 patterns that I'm share with you, it's not about speed, it's about depth. Like, how deep into the belly can we breathe? How long can we stretch out our exhales? How full can this breath be? So that's the first one in the functional breath. That's the breath that we should use all the time, through the nose, deeply into the belly, superior breath pattern. The second one is more of a, it's a two-part conscious connected breath. It's cyclical. It's in and out through the mouth, into the belly. And then the third one is more like, breathwork is just active meditation. And like this piece puts the work in breathwork. She's intense. So I don't really recommend doing it on your own if you have no idea what you're doing. But I will just share this bit of it's an open mouth breath again, into the belly, into the chest, and out the mouth. So again, like cyclical, depth is more important than your speed. And those are the ways, those are the three patterns that I use in a journey. And basically it goes up a mountain and then back down. So we start off really soft, we kind of peak, and then we come down softly in a way that you are grounded at the end and not left in airy, fairy, floaty land.
Okay. And that usually follows, because I've never studied breathwork, but I've done it a lot myself. And that usually they have a period where you release your breath or hold your breath and then breathe in again. So I've been curious, what is that? Does that like activate more of like the parasympathetic nervous system, or?
Not 100% sure of the science behind retentions, but I was taught breath holds as well. I think it just comes back to the level of CO2 in the body, especially like doing the different breath patterns. So holding and allowing, it allows for just like that big release. It's like when you hold, and if you can like tense your body while you're holding and then let go, it's just like, I can relax. Like I can breathe.
Yeah. That's what I feel. Like that's where I feel like.
Feels right.
It feels so freaking good. It feels like euphoric, honestly, especially like when you do 2 or 3, you know, minute sessions of like the breath patterns, and then you do that hold, you can let it go and feel fully relaxed for like a minute or two without breathing sometimes, which I think is so amazing. And you just feel like euphoric after.
Yeah. And honestly, my partner does that underwater and just like does breath holds, but like we'll hold on to a rock or something down there and just looks around. And once you get past the point of, oh no, I'm holding my breath underwater, like I better go up for air, it's just like, wow, this is stillness.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, cool. And like, what is do you know, again, it's something with the parasympathetic is what I know, but do you know how it actually works in the body, like the breath work, like how is it so transformational for people?
So, again, it goes back to that change of inviting in more oxygen, and then the CO2 balance, it shifts in the body. So you start experiencing some physical symptoms. Well, you most likely will start experiencing some physical symptoms, maybe some tinglies, maybe some cramping in certain parts of your body. But then there's a certain point where if you continue to go with it, you are just completely bypassing the mind and you're getting straight into the body. It's really fucking cool. That's where the visuals come in. That's where like the euphoria comes in. That's where just like this emotional release comes in. You're no longer thinking about it. It's just moving. It's really fucking cool.
Yeah, I've noticed that even with like breathing meditation, so just focusing on the breath, like that's where I all of a sudden start realizing like, or visualizing things from my childhood that I had never even remembered, which is very interesting. Like almost every single time I do that type of like just focus on my breathing, which is really cool. But okay, and do you offer any things right now in terms of breath work, or is that in the future, or are you just doing this in person?
I'm tapping into it now because I just got certified like 2 weeks ago. So I've done a few sessions with just like close friends and family to, you know, just practice the craft before I start offering it. But that is something that I want to start rolling out sessions and then like semi-private small group sessions. Eventually, I'll be doing them in person as well. Anyone local in Florida or whatever wants to travel, and potentially on retreats in the future as well.
Okay. Well, so if people want to contact you and learn more about this, where can they follow you?
Instagram is the best way to reach me. It's @_CassieKovacs. I'm also just rebooting my TikTok. It's the same same username, but Instagram is my primary where I hang out.
Okay, cool. And then I guess, do you have any final words for people who maybe are thinking like, okay, I did have not a really healthy upbringing and I feel like, you know, a lot of my health issues could be tied to some emotional healing that needs to happen. Do you have any basic advice to leave them with?
I think just like don't be afraid to start because, well, I'm not going to tell you not to be afraid, but don't let fear get in your way of starting because it feels like it's going to be the longest journey ever and you're going to have to work through so much pain. And honestly, like it's not easy, but that beginning piece of this is it, like this is my block, that's the hardest part. So once you can get through that, it becomes so much easier to use the tools that you pick up along the way. It becomes a lot easier to notice the ways that you're acting out of integrity with this new identity that you're stepping into. And even with somebody who is just curious, but you're like, oh, I had a great childhood. Like, I don't have trauma. I don't have any of these physical symptoms. Like, there's still something there. I think my personal belief is that we all have experienced trauma on some level. So get curious. Like, we can all do some healing. And whether it's for you or your future family or just the future of the world, just do it. Such a better quality of life is what I will say.
I agree. I know. I feel like this is a funny thing, but I remember out of college, I was like, I'm just going to be a stripper because it's all I'm good for.
I think that we all considered that at some point.
Right? Like, yeah.
That was a good idea.
But now I'm not a stripper. You know, I've healed myself enough to have my own business. I never would have dreamed of that. You know, you too. So yeah, there's a better life out there, especially, you know, if someone tells you like, oh, you're fine, like you should be happy with what you have. Like, no, if you have a calling that there is a better life for you out there, that there's healing that needs to be done. Yeah, listen to that. I agree. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you on the next one. Thanks again for listening to the Holistically Healthy podcast. If you want more information or immediate help, head to www.wholenothingback.net and apply for coaching.